we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE right here in Brevard County, Florida. As always, my name is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio program brought to you by friends of the program and Merritt Assembly of God. Wonderful church, and excited about what God is doing there. And we just want to take this moment to say thank you to everybody who's listening. You know, we're out and about throughout the community, and every once in a while we have the privilege of meeting a person who listens to the program for the first time, and we're very grateful for those of you who do listen, and for all of the positive feedback, and we just count it a privilege to bring the Word of God to you. So this is coming Sunday is the biggest football game of the year. It's one of the largest television viewing audiences of the year, and I'm going to be preaching a message on Sunday morning called God of the Second Chance, God of the Second Chance. And I've got a sermon the following week that I'm excited about preaching as well, that God gave to me the other day in my prayer time. And so I'm very thankful for the Word of God and for what all it has to say to us. So with that being said, this coming Sunday night, we are going to be having a special football watching party. We're going to have some games set up for the kids. We're going to have some games for people who are not interested in watching the football. We're going to have a wing contest. We're going to, at halftime, we're going to have a presentation at halftime, a gospel presentation at halftime. Church is providing the sodas, the tea, the lemonade, the water, all of that sort of stuff. We're asking people who want to come to bring some wings, or if you don't want to bring wings, bring some chips or dip or nachos or something like that. And the person who is voted on by those who are partaking of the wings as having made the best wings, now they have to be made by you. You can't, like I said, you can't go to a restaurant, you can't go to Publix and buy their wings and stuff like that. But the person who brings the wings that they made that are voted on as the best, then that person's going to receive a gift card. We're also going to give everyone who comes an opportunity to put in an entry of the team that they think is going to win the game. And upon completion of the game, when we know who the winner is, we will take a drawing out of the bucket of the team who won. There will be a door prize for one of the people who picked the winning team, and we'll have a prize for them. So exciting weekend coming up at Merritt Assembly of God, and we hope that you will join us 10:30 Sunday morning. Sunday night, we will begin at 6 o'clock with some of the preliminary stuff, and we got a football goal that's there for anybody who might want to try kicking a Nerf football through a field goal that one of our men put together a number of years ago. So it's just going to be a really, really fun time. There will be a gospel presentation, and we invite any of you who want to come out. We've got three screens, and we're looking forward to what takes place on Sunday night. So let's get to the Word today, Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. I'm really excited about this. As I've been teaching through chapter 60, this has been one of the things that God had showed me in this passage. And as many times as I've read it, as many times as I've believed this truth, it was interesting to see it in this particular passage. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse number 15, where it says, "Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. That's where we ended up on yesterday's program. Today, verse number 17, instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Now remember, I've been going back and reminding you about this every time we go through chapter 60 here, Isaiah chapter 60, is all of this stems from arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So it's the presence of the Lord. It is us arising and us shining and his glory being seen upon us so that others are attracted to the God inside of us. So verse number 17 begins to talk about God upping the quality of the provision. It's talking about provisional increase. Now, I'm going to touch on the concept of provisional increase from two perspectives. First of all, this promise is contingent. There are provisions in this chapter that are necessary to be met for verse number 17 to come into reality in our lives. If you look at the promises of God, you will see that many times the provisions that are delineated in the promises are conditioned upon us responding in an obedient fashion to God. And it's reflected in this word, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Someone said that if, the word if, is the biggest two-letter word in the Bible. It is necessary for us to do what God has called us to do. A lot of people want to claim the promises without looking at the provisions that are necessary. And so, we're told ask, seek, knock, and we want to do that. If we ask, we will find. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open. And so it's very important that we understand what our responsibilities in the process are. If you will arise, if you will begin to take that act of obedience, it is necessary to do that before the provision comes. And here is the challenge for us. Many of us want to wait for the provision before we start stepping out in obedience. And we've got that equation backwards. God is a God of faith. And so many times he is asking us that as we begin to walk in obedience, then the provision, we will find it as we go there. There are many times where the provisions are already on the way, but if people didn't get out and begin to walk in faith, they would not find the provisions. And a lot of times I believe that we are just sitting around on our thumbs instead of arising and shining, and God's got all this miraculous provision that would make reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ a reality. We need to understand what our responsibilities are. A lot of times people are unashamed and unabashed in blaming God for the shortfallings, for any time that they're believing for a promise and it doesn't come to pass. But I'm telling you, God is not a God who lies. God is not a God who makes promises that he cannot keep. He's not a God who overcommits. He is a God who promises, but he promises it in a manner in which we need to recognize that we have a role and a right and a responsibility to perform. And that's where people don't really like that. I've told you before about the time in math class where I made a mistake, and it took my teacher to be able to show me something that I had learned in fourth grade that I had, in my hurry to get through the math problem in class, I had made a tabulation error, and I thought I had found an error in the program. I thought I'd found a mistake in the book, and they were going to have to revise the entire textbook because of this one mistake that I thought I'd found, and it was my calculational error. Understand what God wants you to do. So several years ago, I was looking at this passage, ask whatsoever you will in my name and it will be done for you. And I realized that there were a number of provisions that were set forth in the Word of God that gave context to the passages of Scripture that mentioned that promise. And so I encourage you, make sure that you look into the Word of God and find out what God wants you to do in order to see the increase. Now, what is really exciting about verse number 17 is God not only says, are there provisions, if you will arise and shine, if you will let the Lord be sovereign in your life, if you will let His glory be reflected upon you, and so that I can bring people into a covenant relationship with me through what I'm doing in your life. He says here that I'm going to upgrade the provision. There's going to be increased provision in your life. It says it like this. Four times there is a provisional upgrade. It says, instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. So he says, I'm going to upgrade your provisions. Now you got to realize that the reason that they used larger quantities of these lesser grade items, but God said he was going to upgrade them. Gold is more expensive than bronze. Silver is more valuable than iron. Bronze is of higher value than wood, and iron is more valuable than a rock that you would find laying aside the road. So he says, in each of these things, I'm going to upgrade. And if you look at the passage of Scripture, you are going to find that basically God was upgrading the wood that was necessary to the gold that was necessary. Because the bronze was upgraded in the first part of verse number 17, and the wood was upgraded to bronze in the latter part of verse number 17, or the middle part of verse number 17. So God says, I have the ability to upgrade your provision. You know, I'll never forget when I worked as a retail manager, and God spoke to me about his ability to provide for my life. Now, I wasn't making a lot of money. We were just barely scraping by. It wasn't an entry-level position, but it paid pretty much like an entry-level position. I think the minimum wage at the time was around $5 an hour, and I was making $7.50. It was hardly what you would want to be making for a family of four at that point in time, or a family of five at that point in time. It was just a little bit of a challenging season, and because of the supervisor that was over my manager was living in, you know, fear that he was going to get laid off at any point in time. And so naturally I start thinking, well, if he gets laid off and I get laid off, you know, what am I going to do? And God said, how much do you make? And, you know, $7.50 an hour. And he's, well, do you think I could give you another job making $7.50 an hour? And it was like, you know, God, I think that you could. And all of a sudden, when you realize that God is over your provision, and he has the ability to turn, if you can let me short circuit the process here in the first part of verse number 17 in the middle, he can turn stones into silver, he can basically turn stones into silver, and he can turn wood into gold. If you look at the process that is going on there in that verse, I realized that God, I didn't need to worry about money anymore. Now, as a pastor, I take my stewardship responsibilities very seriously. But I don't want to let those things rob me of my peace the way that they once did. I don't let them rob me of my joy the way that it once did. That doesn't mean that I go out and I make a bunch of foolish decisions. We have a deacon board, and every board meeting, we're looking at the finances to make sure that we are being good stewards with God's money. And I'll be honest with you, I'm much more concerned about answering to God about my stewardship of the finances that were given to him than I am about answering to any man. I can show everybody, that at our church, when we have our annual business meeting in March, every penny will be accounted for. And, I just don't worry about that stuff anymore. So I want you to see that not only was Jesus in the New Testament able to turn loaves and fishes into food to feed the multitudes, but he can give you the financial provision to do the building of the kingdom that he has called you and I to do. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, I was met with a number of people who, not inside the church, but as we began to encounter people outside of the four walls of the church and knocked on doors and introduced ourselves and things like that, that there were a lot of people who said some less than encouraging things, And one of them was, there's just no money in that church. There's just no money there. And my response was, that's okay. God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord himself will provide. So the God who made the wood, the God who made the stones, the God who provide the elements to make the iron and the bronze, he is the one who upgrades it to gold and to silver and to bronze and to iron. God can upgrade your provisions. He is not a stingy God. And so I want to ask you today, what would you do? What has God laid upon your heart? What ministry might you have? We're getting ready to have our missions convention here in a couple of weeks, February the 19th. We're going to be having our missions convention that day, and we're going to be making some faith promises that night that as God provides, we are committed to give. Now, this year we're believing God for, I believe it's a little over $72,000 to be able to be given to missions. That would be the largest that we have ever given. And when it comes to giving like that, I can tell you this, that as we have increased our giving to missions and financing the building of his kingdom, God has caused the general fund to go up to where basically giving to missions hasn't cost us anything. Our general fund, it still meets the needs. And so whenever we hit a plateau, we say, God, we're going to need some more provision because we want to be able to give more so that your kingdom will be financed in such a way that souls will be touched, souls will be changed, and that people's lives would be made whole. So God will give you the provision that is necessary to accomplish the vision. Jesus sent the disciples, he said, go into the town and prepare the Passover. When they got there, they found the room was all set. He said, when you go into the city, you're going to find a man with a donkey and a colt, and you need to bring that because I'm going to need that. And they said, well, what if we say if the owner of the donkey says something to us? He says, say this to him. And when they got there, they did what Jesus said, and they came back with the donkey and the colt, and Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. God is never going to be left bewildered. He's never going to be left with a situation where he is not going to be able to make the provision. Look at it this way. The most valuable entity in the entire universe is your soul. It's your eternal existence? What are you going to do with your eternity? The reason that I say you are the most valuable is because it was the highest price that was paid. Headlines are made whenever a rare automobile is auctioned for a record price, or a piece of art, or a condo, or a home. If it sets a record, if a price is paid that has never been paid before, then all of a sudden that makes headlines. And God placed a value on you and me that he said, I'm going to send my son. He paid for our sins with the life of Jesus Christ, making it the highest priced purchase that has ever existed. If he can do that, I know that he can provide the gold and the silver and the bronze and the iron and the wood and the stones and everything that is necessary to build a useful kingdom life for you and for your family. So not only is there the financial provision. So today I just want you to rest in his provision. Now that doesn't mean that you're not going to have some assignments to do. That doesn't mean that you're going to just sit back in your easy chair and all of this is just going to come to you. It involve, remember, the provision is arise, shine, reflect the glory of the Lord in a redemptive manner. That is our responsibility. God says, when you are doing that, I am going to make sure that all of your provisions are upgraded so that you can shine even brighter. But more than just financial provision, listen to what it says in verse number 19. It's still in verse number 17. In my Bible, there's a little 19 just beneath 17. That's a footnote on the other column there. That was just kind of weird to look at with the eye. I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. So God is going to provide as we are arising, as we are shining, as we are fulfilling the purpose and the vision that God has for us, as we're walking in the supernatural provision, he says, I am going to, instead of having corrupt leaders or lawless leaders, he says, I am going to provide you leaders that are going to be peace. I will also make your officers peace. By the way, God said, instead of bronze, I will bring. Instead of iron, I will bring. In other words, he said, I know that you ordered bronze, and I know that you ordered iron, and I know that you ordered wood, and I know that you ordered stones, but I'm going to upgrade all of those things. And now he says, I'm going to make your officers peace, and I'm going to make your magistrates righteousness. And so he's not only upgrading the financial provisions, but he is changing the hearts. He's upgrading the quality and the spiritual nature of those who are in authority. So you have to be on your guard whenever financial increase comes, that you do not make the mistake of letting that mammon, if you will, if you let worldly wealth distract you from the purpose that God has for you. And so, but he says, when you are arising, when you are shining in a redemptive manner and the glory of the Lord is upon you, he said, I am going to put rulers in place, and the thing that is going to characterize them is peace and righteousness. Isn't that what we want? We want, I don't know about you, but I don't like strife. I don't like confrontation. I'm not afraid to do it, but I don't like it. And I don't want people around me. I don't want people in power who are corrupt, who are taking bribes, and there's all sorts of wickedness going on. I don't want that. You know, righteousness exalts a nation. That's what we want. And God says, as you are about my business, he said, I'm going to not only work on a social level, I'm going to work on a governmental level. And so My word to you today is you can't afford not to be about the master's business. You can't afford. They came to Peter and asked if Jesus was going to pay the temple tax. And if Peter was going to pay the temple tax, and Peter said, Jesus, are we going to pay the temple tax? And he said, well, let's talk about taxes here for just a moment, but so that we don't offend them, go fishing. And when he went fishing, Jesus had said, the first fish that you catch, open its mouth, and you're going to find a coin in there that is going to be sufficient to pay your tax and my tax. And so Peter went fishing. The goal that you would normally have for fishing would be to catch what you would eat. But he found not only was Jesus giving him instruction on how to provide a meal, but also that his financial needs were going to be met. Now, Peter was good at fishing. And so every time he got bored or every time he didn't know what to do, he wanted to relapse back to what he was comfortable with and what he was skilled with. And so every time he went fishing, and it seemed like every time that he rested upon his own skill, he met with frustration. Jesus would come along and provide a bountiful harvest, and Peter would come back and say, oh, my 153 doesn't compare with what you were able to do. And so he would be reminded that Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. I want to remind you today, if God could take Moses, a man who had murdered somebody, and make him the deliverer of Israel, if he could take David, who had sexual crimes and, you know, basically murdered Uriah the Hittite, if he could take him and do a redemptive work in his life, if he could redeem Peter, if he could change the heart of Saul into the Apostle Paul, I know that he can do a work in us today. Father, we just come to you right now, and I pray that every person here today, God, would sense you leading them, Lord, to their part in the ministry of the body of Christ. Lord, whether it's teaching Sunday school, whether it's teaching children's church, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class or helping around the facilities, God, I pray that you would cause faith to arise in people's hearts today, that they would step up and say, I'm ready to serve my King. And God, I pray that you would meet them with the provisions that are necessary. And Lord, we do pray for our government, for our leaders, God, that you would provide them a relationship with you that would manifest in peace and righteousness, and Lord, a divine skill to do their job. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.